Welcome back to Saturday Morning with Davis and Emmer this morning. We're going to spend some time and talk to a great friend of our show and the station's, my friend, your friend, Tom Lyons, who also does the Minnesota Military Radio. But Tom, you know, a lot of people don't know your history, and I actually have never heard your whole story. And I've, you know, you do other stuff besides the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I know you from that and from working at the station, but you do a bunch of other stuff. But we want to start with your whole history and what, you know, tell us your story and how you got involved. Obviously, you went to Vietnam and everything else, and I don't want to compress the whole story, but you've got this tremendous commitment to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour and to the military in general. I want to talk about that.
And can we start there with Vietnam? Because I'm going to tell you that I met Jackie's grandfather, had the great fortune when he was still alive. And Vern served in World War II, and he was a mechanic that actually was across the pond when it all happened. He never talked about it, Tom. And I know you're that way, too. I've known you now for a while. You don't talk about your service, at least not when I've been around. And I'd love to hear a little bit about, you know, getting into Vietnam. Where did you come from? And tell us about your experience.
You know, guys, it's a pretty common thing. The World War II guys, most of them really didn't want to talk about it. And it was a world war, and everyone was involved. Even all the civilians were involved in manufacturing munitions and so forth. And my buddies from Vietnam, you know, it was a funny time.
Right.
There were draft dodgers and people running off to Canada, and there were race riots, and there were hippies, and it was just a different era. And when we came back, we weren't welcome back. We just went undercover and went to college and got on with our lives, and we made it. It was fine. My story is, I don't think, much different than a lot of the other guys I went to Vietnam with. I was orphaned as a young man at 11 and grew up in a foster home, and it was a great foster home on a farm, wonderful people, but when you graduate from high school, your graduation gift
you're
is
done.
You're out, you're done. And I'd been working, and a couple of my friends had gone in the Air Force, and I wanted to go to college and didn't know how I was going to pay for it, so I enlisted in the Air Force, and went to basic training and tech school, and they made me an accounting and finance guy. I've always been counting other people's money. That's part of my life, I guess. But I was stationed up in Minot, North Dakota, and there was a personnel guy that was a buddy of mine, and we used to have a couple of beers together. And I told him one night, I said, I got to get out of here. and I didn't know, but he volunteered me worldwide. And within a week, I had orders to Vietnam.
Oh, my God.
Never saw that guy again, by the way. And in the Air Force, when you go to Vietnam, it's not like the National Guard. The First Brigade goes right as a unit over to Kuwait. We go as onesies. So I flew out to Washington State and got on a plane and flew to Vietnam. Next thing I know, I'm in Tan Sanut, Vietnam, and getting on a 130 heading for Cam Ranh Bay. And so I was stationed at Cam Ranh Bay. I was in combat support in the United States Air Force. I wasn't out in the woods with the guys, and it was relatively safe. You know, it was a war zone, and there's bombs going off and things happening, but it was, as the tours go, it was relatively safe, quiet tour. I did my thing. We closed up that base a few months earlier than necessary, and most of the guys in my office were married, so I volunteered to stay because I was single. And on May 15th, 1972, we closed up Cam Ranh Bay. And there is a reward for volunteering, because when I got down to Tan Sanut, I had about 6 weeks left. And my finance officer made me change into my Class A uniform right in the middle of the airport. Stopped a 747 that was leaving, had one seat left on it. They thought a general was coming on the plane or something. And they hand wrote out my orders, put me on the plane, and thanked me for volunteering to stay for the last day. So.
Well, and before we move on from Vietnam, two things, Tom, because you just did it. I mean, I've got a really good friend who, by the way, is a Democrat, right?
No.
It's not about politics.
You know
at all.
Democrats, Tom?
Oh, God. You know I do, because it doesn't matter what our political persuasion is. It's about being a Minnesotan, being an American. He was in Vietnam, all right? And he talks just the way you do. It's very selfless. It was not about him. But you know what? what was left on him was the sacrifice that we made of other lives. He was very fortunate to come back, and he's lived a very productive life. But you just did it too. I lived in a cabin when I was in Alaska. All right, I went back a few years ago in 2005 with two of my boys, and I found the cabin out in the middle of the woods. It's still there, and there's a guy who's living there, and he and his wife raised about six kids in this one room cabin with a loft and a wood stove. Tom, all right. Mm-hmm. He was a Vietnam vet, and he told my kids the story, my two boys, and you should have seen their eyes, of what it was like to come home from Vietnam and literally not be appreciated when he came back. In fact, he went and lived in the woods in Alaska for about 5 months before he found his way back. And you know what? Huge sacrifice. Thank you for what you did. Now you come back, and here's what you're doing. You've been giving back. We neglected to give him the biggest one, Bob. It's the award-winning radio show that Tom Lyons and
Company Minnesota Military Radio are.
You were just given an award recently that we heard about before you sat down today. Tell people what the National Guard has done for your radio show.
You know, there's a couple of things I want to say about the radio show, and Mr. Lee will probably kill me, but the idea for the radio show was his. We wouldn't have the opportunity to tell our stories and be on the radio if it wasn't for Twin Cities News Talk and Andrew Lee. And we wouldn't
have Mr. Lee is probably the nicest thing that anybody calls him. No,
yeah, because
he is a great guy.
We sure don't call him that. No, I'm kidding.
We'd have never had the opportunity to syndicate the show at Little Falls, and we'd have never been in the position to win an award without Mr. Lee's idea here. And it's been fun to put on the show. National Guard Bureau did announce last week that we're going to win an award for the best radio program in the National Guard. I'm humbled by it, and I never dreamed when I first met Mr. Lee, and he said, we're going to do a Minnesota Military Public Affairs program, and I want you to be the host. You know, we just put our heads down like anything else and got to work and went over and talked to the Adjutant General and the Commissioner at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and said, what stories can we tell, and how can we help support the troops and their families?
Well, these guys, I'll tell you the best compliment is every time I've met anybody from the military in coordination with anything that you've done, whether it was the Red Tail movie that we did out at, where was that? That was...
right here on the West End. Yorktown or whatever.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Southdale. You know, those guys love you. Those military guys love you. They all gather around Tom, and they really appreciate what you do for them. They don't give people their respect for nothing. You know what I'm saying?
You know, sometimes there's just no accounting for taste, Bob. You just don't know where that goes.
Tom's super self.
Well, I can agree with that, Tom Lyons. No, but what it comes down to is this idea that Andrew Lee had. And by the way, Mike Cresham here at the stadium, wow, there's a Freudian slip. At the studio, at the station, he actually supported this, and then you came on board. I don't think they recognized, maybe you did, I'm going to guess you didn't either, that there was such a hunger for what it is the Minnesota Military Hour offers to families and troops out there. You just weren't getting through normal media.
You know, the commissioner tells us there's 381,000 plus veterans in the state of Minnesota. And of course, we've got 14,000 troops in the Minnesota National Guard. And the key to the show, I think, was the full support of the Minnesota National Guard and the full support of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, because we had access to so many folks and so many stories. And we haven't even scratched the surface yet.
And because it's not about politics. You and I joke about this all the time.
No, you're absolutely strict
but
about
you know
that.
What? You talk to me as much as you talk to Mark Dayton. You talk. Everybody comes out for the military here in this state, and it's got nothing to do with their political perspective, which I think is much appreciated.
They do, Tom, but I want to go back to the story you mentioned about Vietnam. And most of us just put our heads down and went to work, went to college, started families. And, you know, 2001, when that tragedy happened, a lot of us woke up and said, hey, we've got to help today's troops and their families. But I had an opportunity about 7 years ago to go to Washington, D.C. and see the Vietnam Memorial for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to tell you, I was a puddle, because those names on the wall were more than just names. Some of them were my friends. And there was an interesting phenomenon. The first time I went there, I was a mess. But I've been back, and the second time I was there, I noticed that there's a bunch of old guys like me up by the wall touching the names and kind of blubbering.
Mm-hmm.
And then right behind us on the walkway, the younger generations are walking by very respectfully. And I thought, that's interesting. But then I walked over to the World War II Memorial, and I was walking by very respectfully. And the World War II guys were up there, and they were blubbering and remembering and doing things.
Right.
So it's a, for the Vietnam guys, it was a question of we had to face it, and the wall has helped us face it, and the current problems with the troops have helped us deal with to give back. It feels good.
Yeah,
to
because
give
for
back.
A long time you were the only ones, and now you've got sort of a new crop that you can you know, sort of be brothers with. I think it's really cool. My brother-in-law had the same experience at the memorial. That it just was overwhelming.
Wow. We survived and got through it, but mm-hmm. by giving back, it makes us feel good.
You know, and people who haven't served, Bob, it's a great opportunity when you get guys like Lyons to open up a little bit. This is why I told you about Jackie's grandfather, Vernon.
Well, we're gonna keep talking because we got a break, but we're gonna keep talking to Tom about this. It is great to have Tom open up a little bit, and he's done other stuff too. We're talking to Tom Lyons, the host of the Minnesota Military Radio Hour here at Twin Cities News Talk AM 1130. Quick break. We'll be right back. Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, Davis and Emmer this morning. We're talking with Tom Lyons, host of the Minnesota Military Radio Hour, Sunday mornings at 7 here at Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Tom, you were going to tell a quick story and ask Tom a question because we were talking about this whole Vietnam vet experience.
Well, I just, for those of us that didn't serve, all right, I don't think you really fully comprehend the emotion that you've just talked about with whether it's Vietnam vets at the wall in Washington or it's World War II vets at the World War II Memorial. And I started to tell you off air, and I have no problem telling this story on air, that Jackie's grandfather, Vernon Steen, who served in World War II in Europe, he never talked about it. He raised five daughters, never said a word about his military service. Now, you know, Jackie and I are engaged. I'm up ice fishing with him, doing whatever. He had a kind of a spontaneous experience where one of his former guys that served with him in World War II just showed up. A guy from, Washington State who had the RV and was traveling around looking for his old soldier buddies and anything else, right? I sat down with Vern, the two of them alone, for about an hour at the picnic table. And when Vern walked over, I mean, this guy's face was chiseled out of granite. You know, the bulldog haircut, the whole bit. Tears running down his face. And it wasn't, he wasn't openly, you know, shaking, just tears running down his face. And he told me later, you know, it's all the guys that they lost. They're repairing the planes and everything else. And, you know, he was over there for the big push, and it's all the guys that didn't come home. Mm. And it just leaves. That is an experience that those of us that haven't been there, we do feel it vicariously when we're around guys like you.
Yeah, the World War II guys, and especially my Vietnam buddies, you know, because of the political times, we never talked about it. And you can't go to war. You can't even go to war and serve in combat support like I did without knowing people that were killed. When people are living and dying and you're in danger every day, it changes you. And it's an experience that I think the best way I can put it is this. I belong to the largest fraternity in the United States, and it's called Veterans. We've been there. We've done it. Not everybody's gone to war, but when you go to war, it's serious business. And most of the guys don't want to talk about it. But once in a while, something happens, and you do. And we're finding that a lot of the World War II guys now want to get their stories out before it's too late.
Yeah.
And that's part of what we're trying to do on the show is talk to people about what they've
done. Well, there's a lot of history on that show, too, because you have to get into these. And to me, it's fascinating because it's just everything that is great about this country, because it's the ultimate effort that people make because it's essential. It's live or die. And it's just amazing history. And you've had guys on talk about Pearl Harbor and all kinds of stuff. I mean, it's really a good mix of historic. What's your favorite one, you think?
Well, there's two that really stand out. Well, it's several. The Tuskegee Airmen are fantastic.
Yes. But
there's a guy that survived the Bataan Death March in 5 years in the camps.
Right.
And it was brutal. And all he had to say was, support our troops. And he said, we got the best military in the world, he said, but pray for peace. Because he knew what happened. And then I told you guys a story before. There was a guy that served in Patton's Third Army and was a clerk typist at the Nuremberg War Trials. And he also was one of the first people to see going to Dachau.
Wow.
And the most gripping thing that we've heard in the 16 months we've been on the air is he came back and he said, don't let him fool you. The Holocaust was evil.
Right.
And all that evil needs to triumph is for good men to stand back and do nothing.
Sure.
That's what this country's about. That's what our military's about. We can't let things like that happen again. And, you know, it's easy to say, let's be isolationist, let's not do this. But how can you stand by and let that kind of stuff happen?
So
and,
Ron Paul, I'm sure, is welcome in your household. Well, I got a little political on you, Tom. I'm sorry.
Oh, he's just having fun. You know what, though? Maybe now's a good time
to talk. I think it's a good statement. Let's talk
about
it. It is.
Maybe now is a good time to talk about other stuff. Because you don't just, I know you're a huge radio personality today, but that isn't the only thing that Tom Lyons does. In fact, you know, you talk about counting other people's money. What you are heavily into with you and your firm is mergers and acquisitions, helping people value businesses, sell businesses, purchase businesses, etc.
For almost 40 years, we've been helping people buy and sell businesses, and these days things are a little different. We help negotiate mergers, and last few years we've helped negotiate breakups. Tom, have you ever seen in your practice where two formerly really close partners all of a sudden have a divorce?
And that never happens. We always get along. Absolutely, Tom.
You know,
people grow and then they go different ways, and it's no different than when you're in a domestic situation. In business, you have to be able to value that business, that interest, and you got to be able to sell it and figure out how people can exit and move on.
But they don't do it very well, do they? Not always.
Well, without help, they don't.
Once they start fighting, it's tough, but it's hard work to help them figure out a fair price. And how are we going to divide this up and how are you going to move on? But when you're done with it, at the end of the day, you're tired. But when you're done with it, it's great.
So. And this is the book, Exit Strategy, Maximizing the Value of Your Business. How to plan and prepare for the eventual sale of a business, which is what you're just talking about. Wow. Even if in the best of circumstances.
You know, even business owners, everybody's trying to figure out how much is enough. What does retirement mean? They have to do their wealth management planning, and they have to do their estate planning. You know, there are some things you can do with your estate planning to save some money and pass some money along to the next generation or the following generations. And so we get into that. I talk about half the business owners that come to see me out of selling because they're not ready.
Right.
Haven't done their estate planning. The business, there's things you can fix. There's things you can do to it to make the enterprise value worth more money. So we really become kind of a counselor but help them try to get through it.
But that's where the value is, because most of us, and I can tell you from personal experience, what am I doing every day in my business? I am trying to generate more business and trying to generate dollars, not only do a great job for my clients, but support my family. I'm not thinking the way Tom Lyons and your firm is about, well, how much is this going to be worth to someone else someday?
And what can you do to build enterprise value? And what can you do to make a potential buyer feel more and more comfortable about his ability to replicate those revenues going forward? Because the more comfortable you can make them feel, the more money he's going to pay you, and the less of it is going to be contingent on the performance of the company going forward. So if we can talk to business owners a year, two, three, 5 years before they sell, we can have a huge impact on the value of that business. And we can help them do their estate planning. We can help them do their contributions. We can help them give back to society if they so choose.
You know, I've never asked you this. You and I have talked about this before, and you were kind enough to give me a copy of the book a while back. But let's say that I was interested in doing that. Where would I go? Are you guys the web savvy guys that I can go to a website and then sit down and talk to you? Is there a cost to it?
We have a good website. It's Faelon, FAELON.com. There's all kinds of information there. The first visit is always free, just like going to most lawyers. The first visit's always free. We spend an hour and talk with them about their business.
Yeah, but you're much nicer than most lawyers I've met.
Well, you've got sharper teeth, Tom. And then, of course, we put together a program a few years ago called Today's Business Radio. And I'm sure you've heard that. We have vignettes on at noon each day. And what that is it's an educational, provocative vignette trying to help business owners solve problems.
It says here they're looking for a lawyer, Tom.
Yeah, it does. We are looking for a lawyer to join us. You got any money left, Tom?
Yeah. You know what? Watch what happens when you put Lyons and I together. He is the lion tamer. I mean, he is fantastic about just saying, look, this is what we got to do. Let's take a step back, take a deep breath. Let's do this in a very rational business sense, because the other problem with business is emotion. People that build things become very emotional about their business. And you know what? They might have a different perspective of that business because of their emotional attachment to it. And they need someone like Tom and his partners to come in and explain to them, this is reality.
Let's, real quick before we're done, let's talk about the Minnesota Military Family Foundation, because that is also one of your big focuses.
Well, I kind of walk the walk and talk the talk, so to speak. I trying to do everything I can to give back, whether it's giving back to business owners and help them with their problems and solve their and sell their business, or if it's helping my family or friends with problems, or I choose to help my fraternity, the Fraternity of Veterans. Don't think I can make an impact on the national stage, but here in Minnesota, we have the ability via the Minnesota Military Family Foundation, and you've talked about this before with the chairman, Bill Popp.
Well, we love the foundation. We
well,
think
and Bill and Terry Popp are big into it, and you're in the Popp Communication Studios right now.
We are, and I'm just one of the members of the board, but I'm also the chairman of the annual golf tournament, and Tom, you've been out to that. And
I have. I think I actually won something last year. I can't remember.
Can you golf? Are you a golfer?
Well, you know, if there's money on the line, I'm happy to.
If he doesn't win the putting contest this year with his new equipment, something's wrong.
That's what it was.
You have
I won the
you
putter,
have new putting
didn't I?
Equipment, huh?
I won the putter. I forget, what was that, the longest putter, the longest, it wouldn't have been the longest drive, because I think I hit it off the tartan course into Roseville somewhere.
Yeah, but I'm still investigating that, because I think it was rigged. I think it was rigged. But the Family Foundation is here to help Minnesota military families, active duty, reserve, and guard. And since 2004, we've given out over 1,000 grants to Minnesota military families who have experienced some kind of financial crisis at home. And I got to leave you with this last story. And if you can imagine, in today's society, when I was in Vietnam, if something went wrong at home, we'd find out about it from the Red Cross about
a
month later.
That's right.
Today, if there's a problem at home, you find out about it in 2 seconds, and you know. And our troops that are over there on convoy duty and so forth, traveling 3 million miles, you've got to focus on what you're doing. But if you know that your family's having an emergency back home, how helpless do you feel? You're half a world away and you can't do
there's
anything
nothing you
about
do.
It. Nothing
and, of you course, you're gonna feel that. And the whole thing that the foundation does is let's suppose the furnace goes out. You know, they come to you, and then there's a board that figures out how much to give and whether it isn't that the money's just handed out willy-nilly. It's carefully considered, and people are taken care of that need it. So if in the middle of the winter some lieutenant's wife loses the furnace, or some sergeant's wife loses the furnace,
car breaks down,
something like that, that yep. where she needs to get to work or the heat's off, you guys can take care of it.
Appliances, cars, medical travel, all of that. We've got in Minnesota, they have an outfit called the Family Assistance Centers. There's 10 centers around the state, and they go out and do the due diligence. If they're behind on the rent, we pay the landlord. If their appliances are broke down, we pay the repairman. You know, we control it very carefully. Once again, imagine your family's back home. You're feeling helpless. You're on deployment. What happens a day or two later when you find out not only is the problem fixed, but it's been paid for with a grant from the Family Foundation?
That's a good thing.
How good do you feel now knowing that you live in a community that cares?
Right.
And people can give.
There isn't anything better than this.
It's no, so and then good. They can concentrate on the job that we've entrusted to them, and they can take care of themselves.
Yeah. People can give to this. How do they do that, by the way? I want to get a pitch in for that.
Minnesota Military Family Foundation.org. Or they can go online to the Minnesota Military Radio and contact me and join us for as a sponsor at the golf tournament, because that tournament's one of our biggest fundraisers every year.
And maybe Tom will hit one out of the park again this year.
You know what? I will be there, assuming Tom extends the invitation. I've got to mind my P's and Q's. But no, it is a great event, Tom. It's packed, Bob. And I mean, last year the governor was there and George Buckley from 3M. Great.
Tom Lyons, thanks for joining us. Davis and Emmer this morning, Saturday morning, Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Of course, don't forget the Minnesota Military Radio Hour, Sunday mornings at 7, right?
Sunday mornings at 7 on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. And I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.